So January, we've been practicing songs, then we go on the road February and we'll do a show.
On the road.
Then we come back in and practice in March. Then we go back on the road in April and we do those Mondays. Then we come back and take a little bit of time off for the summer. But then we have a Christmas show and all that. So we talk about it. We're on tour. This is our last leg of the tour. And the senior adults have gotten into it. I started talking about it when we were out there, and they were like, hey, we kind of like that, thinking we're on tour type stuff. And
so is this choir, or it's a
senior adult choir?
It's senior adults. Okay, so senior adult choir.
And they call themselves the Young at Heart Choir.
Okay.
And so what we do is we go to these various, rest homes, whatnot, and every week we do a worship service. We sing the same songs, but I like to do a different message, even though I could do, and they've even said, won't you just do the same one? We're going to four different places. Nobody will be. We don't care.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I don't know. I've always liked to do, well, I want to hear a fresh word.
Yeah.
And so, so this past week we did 1 John chapter 3. As we're talking about, it's our Valentine tour. So we're doing our Valentine era for Reese and the Taylor Swift fans. It's our Valentine era. And so I did one on what love is, what it looks like, that kind of thing. It was a good study. I think you could tell they were getting into it. The folks that traveled, that they were getting it too.
Yeah.
It's 1 John 3. I believe I went verses 15 through about 18. Actually, I went 11 through 18, I think is what I did.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. How big is the crew?
Yesterday we had 28 people singing.
Oh,
yeah, believe me. And it's funny because I don't practice with them. I've told them, I said, look, when we're in the studio and we're, banging out the hits and everything else, I'm going to let y'all do that. I've got work to do. I'll be on tour with you. And it is.
You're like the manager.
Yes,
like the road manager.
Yeah, but 28. And then yesterday I was looking at that material for the first time and I was like, oh no, we're singing in the round, and there's parts where the men sing, then the women sing, then we don't sing, and there's solos, and I'm kind of like, I mean, this really is, it is a show, man.
Wow.
And it's fun, but it was 28 senior adults yesterday singing, and I believe the audience, normally, it's kind of, we always make a joke about the, depending on the where we're going, sometimes it might be as, 20 people. Mm-hmm. Because at rest home.
Sometimes the band's bigger than the audience.
Yeah, sometimes the band. Well, yesterday, man, it was packed. I mean, they were in there, and they love it. Oak Hill loves it when we go down there. And we always tell them, y'all are our favorite stop of the gig. Because there's several folks that are in Oak Hill that went to church here.
Okay.
So I think they're like, hey, my church is coming. Y'all need to come.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was to the point yesterday. I believe we could have gave autographs at the end. I mean, that was tight. That was tight. Now, whether or not they knew who we were or what, I don't know, but it was a great tour.
That is
and,
awesome.
And I love it. I love it. So it is a lot of fun.
That is awesome. Well, so I've got a couple of little follow-ups from last week that I have to correct. So as I was listening to or editing or whatever you'll call it, listening back to last week's show, I had specifically made a point to say that when I was talking to Christian in that story, I told him, try not to do this again.
Right. Okay.
I said, I always try to say, try not to. Can't say, don't do it again. And then I turned right back around and I said, I told Gabe and Reese, don't do this again.
Yeah.
So I didn't put the try in there.
I got
for that.
You.
So
I know that
slight correction. I should have said that differently there. That's awesome, though, with the senior band. I love
hey,
that.
Man. Well, you've been coming to the Thursday morning Bible study some.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen, I mean, that's more of a retired crowd.
Oh, yeah. I think that's probably, there's probably some overlap there between the crowds, maybe. But
There's a ton.
Yeah.
And but this is a crew that's some of the same crowd. And I know we got a luncheon coming up on the 20th of February that we're trying to change our senior adult ministry, just calling it the adult ministry, because there's some folks that myself, I'm not a senior adult, but I wouldn't mind hanging out and going somewhere. If y'all go to a show, I'll go.
Yeah, don't put the labels on it. If you put the label on it, I might not have shown up on Thursday morning,
right?
Look how great
that's
turned
exactly
out.
That's exactly right.
I've only missed one of those, and I felt bad because the one I missed, the lady came around here. I think I was here on a Tuesday or something. She said, where were you last week?
Oh, yeah. They'll track you down.
Yeah, so I've only missed that one. I think I'm starting to treat the sanctuary kind of like Bank of America Stadium. I'm trying to see how many seats I can check off and different views and stuff.
I want to see which angle's the best.
Yeah, so this
you
is
were in the balcony 2 weeks ago.
Two in a row. Right, so I was balcony 2 weeks in a row, and then this week I made it a point I was not going to be late. All right. I mean, it was just one of those things. Heather plays me very well with this. She always tells me to be somewhere between 15 and 30 minutes sooner.
Yes.
It's never the same because she knows better than to make it routine. I catch on to that. So she mixes it up on me, so I'm always never on time. I'm never coming to that time. But I specifically said this week, I'm going to be here at 10:30. Because for one,
10:30 will help.
People have been, pretty full.
Yeah, we've been over 300 the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah. I was born in the morning, but it wasn't this morning. Yeah. I can learn after a while that, okay, I need to be there a little sooner now if I want to
go ahead and get there at least 10, 15 minutes early.
So I was able to get more of a central location this time, but I think I'm going to just mix it up. I think next time I might sit front row. Because there's nobody down there.
Nobody's ever down there. Nobody ever sits.
There are some that'll
sit on the front row on this side.
Yep.
None on the right hand side, and then none where I am. So there's plenty of seats down there at the front.
So the very first thing in the bulletin was, I've got the bulletin here. Yeah. I'm sure you remember it, but it's, you can come to Christ. Okay.
Point one, you can come to Christ.
Point one.
You can find forgiveness, you can receive reviving.
All right, so I'll be honest with you. I used to be I still fill out the bulletins.
Right.
But the bulletins the only thing that kept me engaged. Now that I'm taking more notes, it's just like I do that as a formality.
That's
right. But I still do it. But when I wrote down, you can come to Christ, I paraphrased it. And I put it on my notes. So I filled it in on the bulletin. And then in my notes, I put, Jesus is approachable.
Yeah. I said that. He's infinitely approachable.
Yeah. But hang on, though. You're getting ahead of me now. So I put, when you covered the bullet, you said you can come to Christ. And I put, Jesus is approachable.
Right.
But then, you see, I put my little G right here. I'm learning how to take notes so that that you didn't say this. This was my paraphrase.
This is what you wrote. G. Okay.
All right. Then later in the service, you come back and say he's infinitely approachable.
Right.
And I thought, that's literally what I said, what I wrote down. But now I got to go back and change my notes because now I got to insert infinitely and mark out the G and put a B. But hey, at least it's on the same wavelength.
You thought it. That's the thing is, because see, I was afraid of, you know, when you say a point like you can come to Christ. Well, is that who is that for? Mm-hmm. Is that those who have not made a decision to come to Christ? Well, no, it's for anybody. Mm-hmm. And no matter where you are, no matter your hang-ups or struggles or how many times you've fallen, man, he's there with the arms open saying, come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Yeah. So. We have sin.
Right.
We repent from it, hopefully daily, and we try, but we're always going to have it. Mm-hmm. Would it be fair to say, how am I trying to say this? When you die, you're going to have sin in your life. Like, you're not going you're never going to be able to just completely get rid of sin. It's always going to be there. Maybe, how fair would it be to say that lack of faith is the only unforgivable sin in the sense that that's the one that you can't die with? You can't take that one with you to the grave and be okay with it.
Well, I think that would be what Jesus talks about when he talks about quenching the Spirit. I believe it's in the book of John that when we quench the Holy Spirit, that in itself is the unpardonable sin, is that of rejecting the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is drawing you to come to Christ, and you basically say, "No, I don't need a Savior. I don't trust that Jesus is the one who died for me." That's where. That's the only unpardonable sin. So, I can die, or I might have been walking with the Lord, and then let's just say the last 3 years of my life, I kind of get a little bit, cantankerous, or I get to where I forget the promises of God, or I turn my back a little bit. I can honestly say I don't think that is what's going to keep you out of heaven.
Right.
I really don't. It is the when you refuse to answer to, respond to the Holy Spirit. That's the only unpardonable sin.
We start coming up with ways to rank sins so that we can find ways to put ourselves higher up on the list than our brothers or our neighbors in church or whatever. We have that need to make ourselves feel holier than thou somehow.
Right.
So we look for ways to put other people down around us.
Yeah, that's the legalist in us, that that when you're ranking yourself, and that's the opposite of what Galatians 6 tells us to do. Mm-hmm. Galatians 6 says that we bear one another's burdens, we care for one another. If anyone's trapped in a sin, that means it snuck up on them almost. Mm-hmm. Normally, human response or the legalist response is, you know, look at him. Well, I'm better than they are. Well, mm-hmm. No, that's not. We're not on a ranking system here. Not at all. And I think that's where grace gets rid of the ranking system that, you know, we're all dirty, rotten sinners. It's just by grace we've been saved.
Well, and this is where I am going with that. So we have those. I think I've got it. My ADD kicks back in.
Uh-huh.
All right. So you said on a show one time, it's just by the grace of God that person you see on the news who did whatever they talk about, it's just by the grace of God you're not that
yes,
person.
Right.
I don't think we take that approach very often. We think that, nah, I ain't that bad.
Yeah.
You know, it really, you could have just as easily been that.
Yeah.
Whatever that sin is that you're looking at, no matter how terrible you think that thing is and how bad you would hope like crazy you never committed it, it's still by the grace of God you didn't.
But by the grace of God go I.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly.
And it's true.
So tying this into some type of them, I really don't have much of a game plan today other than just the notes from church, so I'm kind of excited about that. I think it might be good.
That's all right.
But there's been this thing lately I've been looking at a lot of just it ties to sports, I guess, a little bit, where, you know, a basketball team or a football team, mm-hmm. everybody's got their pros and their cons and their strengths and their weaknesses and the things they're good at, things they're not good at. Tall basketball players, you're going to put them around the goal where they can rebound. People that can dribble well, you keep them away from the goal where they can control the ball. You've got – everybody has their own little unique talents and skills. And when we get too involved in trying to rank this person's good at this or I'm better than that, or that can cause a lot of big problems for us when we start looking at ways that we can – I've thought a lot about service this week and how to serve. And we've said before, when you're never more like Christ than when you serve. That's not always just talking about – becoming a deacon at church or teaching Sunday school. There's a lot of different things that you can do to serve. And we were looking at some of the things that we were talking about last week after the show of how to lead people, how to be a spiritual leader, you know, different things like that. Servant leadership is such a huge thing.
Yep.
Being someone who, and by that I think about, okay, take a sports team.
Uh-huh.
I remember the Panthers had a general manager one time. They talked a lot about improving the bottom of the roster, right? So much is focused on the top. How do we make the star player better? One of the most effective ways a team can get better is by making the worst players on the roster better.
That's it.
Right? So tying that into, I guess I'm just blabbing a bunch of stuff to let you kind of unpack it all.
Gotcha.
But taking all that and just saying, okay, as a church, as a society, as whatever, the more we can look for, okay, this person's got this skill, but they lack in this. How can I help this person with this thing that they struggle with, and how can we all kind of work together? There's such a huge need for that in the world, but there ain't a whole lot of it going on anywhere.
No. Well, and I think that kind of ties into what we're going to be talking about this Sunday, with it being Super Bowl Sunday. About a month and a half ago, I was in a meeting with the elders, and we were just talking about, okay, what is it that's hurting the church in America? What is it that we need to focus on here at Fuquay? And we just began talking. One of them came up with something that as soon as he said it, I said, that's what I was hoping y'all would say. And it was this. There are so many born-again believers that do not know what their spiritual gift is. And you talked about bottom-up, and you talked about, you know, finding the right place. Well, the Bible tells us that each and every person that's born again has been given a spiritual gift. Now, the problem with the church is most of the folks, they don't even know what their spiritual gift is or what they are. And if they don't know what they are, then they're definitely not using them. And when we look at why God gave the spiritual gifts, he gave it, one, to edify the body. So edify means to strengthen. So if the church is weak, maybe it's because we're not using our gifts. And then number two is, I think, and the second reason you're giving gifts is edify the body, glorify God. And so we're going to take a look at what spiritual gifts are. We're going to take a look at how we use them, but I believe it can impact the church. But here's the beautiful part about the spiritual gifts. They're given by God. and he orchestrates who's in the church. And when everybody uses their gifts, you don't struggle with, oh man, we really are weak at left guard.
Mm-hmm.
You don't struggle. Now, you might not have the Pro Bowl left guard, but it's exactly what God wants for that church.
Yeah.
But the problem is, for so many churches, people don't even, realize or figure out what the gifts are, much less utilize them.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have a good time talking about that. I'm going to give, some things to take home that hopefully people will be willing to work through and find out what their gifts are. And again, I really don't care what your gifts are. More importantly is, are you using them?
Yeah.
And if you're using them, man, it is amazing how God is, his wisdom, his all-knowingness, his omniscience, that he knows exactly who's at this church, and he has put it together, and the people he adds, he doesn't add them for fun. He is building a body here, and if everybody contributes, then we function as a body.
Yeah. And I think the sports team analogy is an easy extension of that to describe that one, because, there's sometimes you're going to be put in a place that maybe you didn't think that's what you wanted to do, but that's, it may not be your best gift, but it is that right. You are the best person for it in this environment.
That's right.
And then there's going to be others that, you might not, how many people what do you think the struggle is between, all right, how am I trying to say this? Break it down for me between, there's some people that just struggle to put them into action, and there's others that struggle to identify them.
Right.
Which is a bigger problem, do you think? Yeah.
I think, honestly, I think it's more the latter. I think people don't realize what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for numerous reasons. I think, I don't think we as churches do a good enough job of helping people discover what they are. And then I think the other thing is, I think that's the bigger part, but you hit on the other part too is, okay, somebody may know it, but how do I put it into practice?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's teaching, well, we already got a teacher over there.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, and it works. Paul talks about it being a body. So if my right hand says, you know what? I'm done today. I don't feel like working. Well, I'm going to be in a world of mess. I don't know how to write. I don't know how to type. Even a pinky, every piece of the body, even the ones that you don't see, the ligaments and the tendons, everything in there, God has put together to function. And if something doesn't function right, it misses. A piece of a puzzle. You ever put a puzzle together and getting the last piece is missing? Man, that's aggravating.
Well, I can speak to that actually in real terms right now, because I've got some nerve damage in my left arm that stems all the way down to my left pinky. So starting at my left pinky, I'll have some numbness, especially when it's cool like this. It's not. It was a pinched nerve. I had it checked on a few years ago. They said it was a pinched nerve in there. In the
elbow or in the
It's
bone?
Like right in there in the arms where they described it. But anyway, it basically renders my left pinky fairly useless. Hmm. Now, is there anything less important on a right-handed person's body than your left pinky, you would think?
Yeah,
you know?
Left pinky toe, maybe.
Walk around without your left pinky. Walk around like this then for a little while and see how you like it.
Or something you don't think about. You don't think about your left pinky toe.
Right.
You stub that rascal in the middle of the night and your whole body's going to become a toe. And so that's a beautiful picture of what. And so if that's not functioning and that's not contributing, then we miss it. And so... I think it's a little bit, I'd probably go more towards more people don't know, because I've been kind of taking a poll as I ran into people. So this happened about a month and a half ago with the elder. So I figured, let's have a super, super spiritual gift Sunday. That's why I called it Super Gift Sunday.
Okay.
I was hoping everybody would be like, oh no, we got to get. No, I didn't say no. It's what God's given you.
Mm-hmm.
And now will you use it? And so I thought about, let's do it on Super Bowl Sunday, since it's Super Sunday.
Yeah.
And let's emphasize, hey, if we utilize our gifts that God's given us, man, it'll make a big difference in this church, make it a super church, if you will. But I think it's one of, when we begin to think about it, I've been asking folks, what do you think your spiritual gifts are? And even if I've been in, that was, whether it was a job interview or ordination board or just talking around with a bunch of guys, and it is amazing to me how many people will look at you like, I don't really know. And it's kind of like, you got to know, don't you?
Yeah.
And it ain't because we don't have gifts or tools, and I'm going to give you a tool Sunday to work through and you'll find out, but oftentimes I think people confuse gifts with talents.
Okay.
Okay. You might be good with numbers. You might be able to sing. That's not a spiritual gift.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual gift is something that God works through you that bears eternal fruit. Okay. So it's going to impact people for the kingdom. For some, now listen to this. I mean, one spiritual gift is the gift of serving. So if somebody passes away and I go over there and I cut the grass or I do something, you know, it is amazing what God can do through certain people that I might have done the same thing, but he does something a little mm-hmm. bit different that impacts them in a brand new way. So it's learning those gifts, and I think it's one of, I think, yeah, you're given those gifts at conversion, but I think we can develop, or God tends to give us more as we grow older. I mean, in the ministry, I've had to learn some things, mm-hmm. and I think God grows them.
And Paul talks a lot about spiritual gifts, I think, in 1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians 12, really, it's 11, 12, 13. 11 is more the Lord's Supper, but 12, 13, and 14, but 12 is the main chapter.
And he gives a pretty decent list of examples, I think, of some different mm-hmm. types of gifts that somebody could have. I doubt it's an exhaustive list.
No, I'm sure there's others.
Right, yeah.
He's got one in Romans. Peter, I love the way Peter does it. Peter basically sums up two groups. You got speaking gifts and you got serving gifts.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That may mm-hmm. be the way I go, so I don't have to spend so much time on trying to explain what the gift of this is or that is.
Would you say that they would all fall into those two categories, though, speaking or service?
That's what Peter is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying, again, no list in the New Testament's exhaustive, because
right.
I believe there's some times that God does give certain things that may not be listed in there. But I think when it comes down to it, it's either going to be, if you really stop and think about it, gifts are given for other people, to lift up other people, to strengthen other people. Well, how do you strengthen people? Well, by God's word, that would be speech, or by serving them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and serving sometimes might be just, you know, being there with them during the time of loss or hurt. Or, you know, sometimes it's just knowing the right word to say at just the right time.
I regret saying this probably, mm-hmm. but
go ahead.
It feels to me like if I'm trying to take inventory of my spiritual gifts, that learning those that fall under the service category would be more fundamental to the development of the rest of the gifts, right? Like, service seems like that. Okay, you're never more like Christ than when you're serving. Before
yeah.
I can really learn to be an eloquent speaker about Christ, I think I kind of right. need to be better. I need to kind of understand how to serve.
All right. But I give you
not,
that.
Not to
that.
Say that necessarily that someone
could like... So I think it goes back to even your eloquent speakers. Think about that. Even the ones who have the gift of speaking, it still goes back to that humility. Because
to me, if you only have the gift of speech and you're not exercising the gift of service, then you're just speaking.
Yeah.
That's not
yeah.
a good...
And I think there would be some other that go along with it. But I think it's one of those that, like I said, I think the humility behind that, because what was happening in Corinthians, in the church at Corinth, is there were people who had certain gifts, the speaking gifts or whatever, and they were becoming prideful. And Paul is saying, yo, I'm telling you, if there's one church that did not ever get it right, it was 1 Corinthians, or at least during that time. Because Paul is writing to them, they've been immoral, they're suing each other. I mean, this is a church that doesn't know how to take turns, they don't know how to share, all they're about is themselves. Even their spiritual gifts, which is a gift from God, and it's by grace, they were turning it into, look at me.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul's saying, no, it's not for you. And it's not for people to pat you on the back. There has to be that humility. Even if you are a great speaker, there needs to be that humility behind it that says, no, this is a gift from God. And apart from him doing the work, I'm a clanging cymbal, if you will, if I don't have that humility. But Paul uses it, if you don't have love, which if you don't have love behind even using the gifts, you know, what good is it?
There's a lot in Corinthians where Paul is, if I'm understanding this right, I don't have any exact verses coming to mind as an example, but there's a lot of times where he says, I'm boasting, but I'm boasting basically for God in Christ. And yeah, and almost the point where a couple times he's like, now I'm really speaking crazy. Now I'm yeah. really boasting, but I'm yeah. boasting for him.
Yeah. And he says that from time to time in Philippians, if anybody wanted to boast, I could
boast. But if I were going, but he's boasting about what he is capable of doing through Christ, not what he himself has done. He's saying that yes, because of Christ, I've been able to do all these things that I shouldn't be able to do.
Yep.
If anybody was going to boast about something, it would be me, but I'm not, because he's the one that's doing all this. Is that it?
No, I think you're right, and I think oftentimes you hear people talk about, hey, man, I feel good about my self-confidence. Mm-hmm. Well, I've always said, no, it ain't about your self-confidence. It's mm-hmm. about who Christ is in you. That's where you draw your self-worth from. That's where you draw, okay, it's who I am in Christ. And that's where you can have a confidence. And it's not an arrogance. It's a confidence in who he is. And it is a trusting in who he is. And that's where I want to just say that self-awareness, or just that's where it comes from, is who I am in Christ.
Well, and I don't know how, I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but this past weekend, I had spent a ton of time in prayer, reading scriptures. I had a lot of time. And then this morning, getting ready for the show, I'm like, I don't have anything to talk about. And I felt so bad. But it's like, how did I spend all this time doing this and I got nothing to talk about tonight?
Because
it's all up to God what when he's going to speak to you or not. It's not about you don't get to, I was on my walk and thinking about it this morning. I was like, I don't understand, God. Why don't I have anything? I did this, I did this, I did this, I checked this, I checked that. He's like, yeah, that's it. You check. It's a checklist.
Hey, man, trust me.
Right, exactly.
And I think it's one of when you've got two people in Christ, that brothers in Christ, that you know can relate to each other. Yeah, you don't have to force nothing.
Yeah,
it's kind of like your relationship with your wife. I don't have to sit around and say, all right, Renee. Yeah. All right, I'm bringing a list of things we want to talk about tonight.
Right.
Now, there might be times that, hey, we got to get this stuff done. So let's work on this tonight. Okay, that's different than, okay, for Renee and myself, I don't have to sit there and think about, okay, what are we going to talk about? And I never had to. That's when I knew, okay, I've got myself a winner. This is a girl that I can see myself with, that I don't have to go in there thinking about, okay, what are we going to talk about? It just flows.
Well, and it's the same with your relationship with God, too, right? Like, you don't have to go into a prayer with God of an agenda of all the things
no,
we want to talk about.
In fact, the best thing to do is go without the agenda.
Right.
And go saying, Lord, I just want to seek you.
Yeah.
And as you seek him, he begins to lead you into some of the things that, oh, Lord, I didn't know that's a need, or Lord, that's something I need to confess. So, yeah, go without your agenda and go seeking his.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's something that I never thought about it all, really, and I've heard you talk about it. I don't know if you've talked about it a lot on the show or if you just said it once, and I listened to it 100
right.
times over.
Yeah,
and over,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
It could be either. But I've heard you talk a lot about just seeking, just the quiet, and just mm-hmm. being. And my favorite way of hearing you say it is that when you're praying, you're not the only one, not the most important one talking.
Person.
I love
yeah,
that
right.
one. But I found something the other day. I found that, so my walks are getting progressively off the beaten path, all right? So I started off on sidewalks, then I think I found nature trails, and now I've slowly figured out, like, honestly, I think it comes from needing bathroom breaks along the trails that I found places further away.
Right.
But I've honestly got to the point now where I'm looking for, like, where's nobody else ever going to be? Like, where... Mm-hmm. But I found a cool place this weekend, and it's just like, I didn't know this was here, and it's walking distance from the house. And it's a really cool place to go. I never thought about this. I've never even been much of a nature person, mm-hmm. honestly. But it's really cool, because, and I thought about this, you can't really appreciate what God made if you're surrounded by the stuff we made.
Right.
And getting away from that stuff, you kind of get to really just enjoy him more. And you don't have to say as much. You don't have to pray as much. He can do more speaking in those.
No, I think there is something to be said of... I did a graveside service this weekend for a man that, man, hunter galore, fish. All he wanted to do was hunt and fish. And his favorite thing was to watch the world wake up, is what he said. I love watching the world wake up. I love watching God wake it up with a cup of coffee in my hand. And I just watch the sun begin to come up. And you begin to see, okay, this is God's handiwork. Yeah, there's something to be said about being able to get alone and just understand that, hey, we just want to seek the Lord. And a lot of times nature helps that in such a fabulous way because, sometimes it's like you said, that when you think about the human body, you wouldn't think a left pinky finger would bother you. No, when you know you're fearfully and wonderfully made and you know how God crafted everything together, man, it really does. I mean, I'm blown away by it.
Yeah.
That's a great place to start.
It is. And I think it's just cool. I think that the more you can go to God without that agenda, the more He can say to you. You know what I mean? And the more He can, you give Him that blank canvas instead of coming in with your agenda.
And a lot of times, rather than your agenda, just begin to worship. And I think that's where being out in the woods and just seeing nature, that tends to lead to worship of, man, God, how could you have created all this? This is amazing. And just begin to worship. And I've always told people, you know, the Lord inhabits the praises of His people is what the Bible says. So if that's the truth, then, hey, you want to get with God, start praising, start worshiping.
Well, and honestly, I mean, nature's a pretty good example of everything kind of working together and how much detail and attention to detail He put into things. And if He put this much attention into nature, what do you think He put into your life and the relationships within it and things like
and
that?
And how much He knows about every intricate detail.
Yeah.
He ain't left anything out.
And I think that's also where you start to get the love and maybe start to see the love of other people in a way, too, in that you have a role in helping others. Just like everything else in nature has a role of serving some purpose, you have a purpose and back to the spiritual gifts and things like that. You've got to.
That's what I'm hearing. And you know, a lot of times I'll bring up what we're going to be talking about Sunday to give me some pointers of okay, now let's say, and this thing of purpose we've been talking about. What purpose is there other than God gave me this gift to use?
Well, spiritual gifts was one that was that was a topic that was in my brain this morning. Actually, mm-hmm. Was that something? Oh, yeah. I mean, it's something I've thought about a lot over the weekend. Probably is because there are some part of us recognizing which ones are not your gifts. don't try to be a rebounding king if you're 4 foot eight. Right. You know, Muggsy Bogues didn't spend a whole lot of time in the paint. You know,
that's right.
But I do think that's the. And I love you cracked me up during church a couple times Sunday with the and I don't remember what some of the I think when you were describing them lowering the paralytic man down through the ceiling tiles that was I got pretty cracked.
Chapter 5, don't you know, man, that was some stuff.
Yeah,
that had to be. And then Manfred, one of our elders, came up to me afterwards and he said, man, I can just see those guys high-fiving each other and we ain't got to carry him anymore.
Well, how far did he have to be lowered? Like, how high was the ceiling above he was being lowered to?
Who knows? Most of the roofs at that time, maybe 10 to 12 feet. So,
if I'm paralyzed and I'm being laid, if I'm being dropped down on a stretcher, that took faith to not be dumped down.
These boys are going
to
hold me up.
Yeah.
And they got, what kind of rope they got? Let's make sure we got a good, strong rope.
Yeah.
And not none of this thin thread. Yeah, there was a lot of faith going on for those four men. I always thought it was just the four men. That joker on the stretcher had some faith, too.
Well, and that's, I've got this one boxed up and underlined and all this stuff. Faith moves Jesus. I mean, that's the most important thing to Him. That's the thing that and you've said it several times in church, you've said it on the show, like, that's what gets His attention and goes, wow. You know, that's what really makes Him.
Yeah. Luke 7, Luke 5. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please
God. And that's
God.
One of the spiritual gifts that we've talked about before. Faith itself is a form of a gift.
And I think that's one, and that's where faith as a spiritual gift is one that it can trust God and knows, okay, God, I know what you promised, I'm going to trust you. But I think it also has a tenet or a part of it that not only do I trust God, but I can help other people trust God. Mm-hmm. Wait a second. No, you what you just said, I can believe that. And I think that's where faith as a gift comes in of I trust God and you walk with it and you act on it. But you can also influence others that they see, wait a second, He's right. You know, mm-hmm. if God is faithful, or God did this, or God did that, then yeah, I can believe that. Yeah. And I think that's one of... and again, thank the Lord. I think the Lord gave me a little bit of that gift that, especially when it, you know, for the church that, hey, look who He is and look what He can do and we can trust Him. And I thank the Lord for that because it's not me, but He gave us that gift. And if it's used right, man, it strengthens the body. Yeah. And think about it. That's one that you can easily say, man, that'll really strengthen the body.
Mm-hmm.
That people can believe what God said, or maybe they were doubting. You know, can we as a church do that? Well, it ain't about whether we as a church can God do it through His church?
Yeah.
And last time I checked, He can do it. All things are possible.
How much do you think people, I don't want to say deny their spiritual gifts. Maybe that's the right way of putting it. I was thinking about this morning as it came up. There's some spiritual gifts that, I mean, I'd like to know what the exchange policy is on those things. Yeah. Right? Like, well, there's a few of them. I don't want that one. I would rather have this one. This one seems more fun. I don't want that.
That's the humanist.
Yeah, that's the humanist. But how much of that's serious? Like, do you think a lot of, is that something that we've done with a lot, or is that?
Denying it is a kind of what we talked about a little bit earlier. Either you don't know, or you do know and you don't want to use it, or, you know, you don't know where to use it. But I think there are some that, I mean, let's just be honest. There are some gifts that, man, they are going to require you. They're going to cost you something. You know, you may be gifted as a spiritual gifted as a teacher, but I've yet to know anyone that, and I may be wrong there, but I don't know of anyone that can just stand up in front of a class and go. Mm-hmm. You know, I know I have to do, and I might be able to do it for a, you know, if somebody just says, hey, we need a devotion.
Sure.
All right, I can pick a text and go. But if on an ongoing basis, man, the amount of study, the amount of reading, the amount of preparation you got to do, yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
And no, I'd much rather do something else besides teach. Although most people are wanting the stuff where everybody can see you. I mean, that's the human side is, oh, I want that gift because, hey, that's where the Corinthians were. You want the gift of speaking in tongues, and you want the gift of preaching. Because that's, oh, man, you know, who wants the gift of wiping down tables or serving when nobody's going to pay attention?
But I do think there's a part of that there's something that I'm learning. I'm not sure exactly what it is exactly. I can't quite pin it down exactly. But there's a part of me that's learning to appreciate not being in that type of role all the time. Sometimes having the simplest little job that you know you can do really well is one of the best things you can ask for.
Yeah. The mentality we've got to get to of, if God's gifted me with this gift, whether it's big or small, I'm not here to see how many people Billy Graham, okay, he probably has a better gift of, you know, and we think of evangelism of, okay, that is, you know, that's the office of evangelist, but we think, okay, you got to fill up a stadium. No, sometimes it's just being able to sit down with someone across from the table and being able to bring up the Lord and talk about the Lord.
Yeah. I had this was definitely my notes from Sunday, but you said, I believe you said you've got to bring it to him.
Right, right.
And then I added at the bottom, but then you got to bring it for him.
Right.
Okay. So you bring your problems to you. That's obviously part of it. But, I mean, there's got to at some point be, this is where we go back to that, your faith changing you kind of thing. Like, once you really do accept that and you've really understood, you've given all of your burdens to him, but now you're free of those burdens. What do you do with that freedom now?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's when it goes back to, well, now you got to bring it for him and start to serve it, start to give back. But that's not the right. I don't know if that's give back is not the right.
No. Well, it's Galatians 5, Galatians 5, 1, Galatians 5, 13. You've been given freedom, but don't use your freedom for license. In other words, I don't use my freedom to go and live any way I want. But he says, but use your freedom for love. Use your freedom to serve. So, yeah, I think you're right. Bring it to him and then bring it for him is what happens in the aftermath of that, because that's exactly right. I mean, I like that, and I might steal that.
Please take it. Trust me, it's better in your possession than mine.
Yeah, I love that. But, yeah, that's Galatians 5:1. It's for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to yoke of slavery. Verse 13, for we were called to freedom. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. So, yeah, that's exactly right.
You put, there were four words that I've underlined here. You said that the men lowering the man in Luke 5. Luke 5, right?
Right, okay. Luke 5.
Yeah. You said it showed amazing creativity, urgency, unity, and perseverance.
Right.
There was a lot of that I was taking from that as you were saying it, because there's a lot of that lacking in the things that we do in society, church, whatever. We're not very creative.
Right.
We're very much, you know, in the box in the way we want to approach things.
Got to always be the same way.
Right. No. There's no urgency.
Right.
There's zero unity. And there's not, I mean, perseverance is a tough one to come up with. But those, I think, are also the things that we provide one another through our spiritual gifts also. I think your spiritual gifts kind of, it helped. Some people may have the gift of unifying.
Right.
Some people may have the gift of either persevering or helping others to persevere. The sense of urgency.
Yeah. You can begin to see why, and the more I'm sitting here thinking about it, man, this is a timely message that we've got to have, because these are, I mean, if we don't utilize them, man, we're just going to continue to flounder.
Yeah. I've gotten on such a kick here from the last two shows ago. I think two shows ago started this with me, and then I edited it for a while, and it got stuck in my head, and then I'm just now maybe kind of circling back to it, but that sports analogy and that drive that we've talked about with Paul, I mean, mm-hmm. I have known, I was like this with golf, right? Like, with golf, golf was the most important thing to me, hands down, right? Like, now, if I could just say these things and just say, okay, let's just not talk about what we're talking about, right?
Right.
This thing came absolutely first in my life above everything else. I didn't care if it took away from my time with this person or that person. It has ended relationships. It's come in the way of romantic relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It's interfered with my kids. They're all these things.
Mm-hmm.
I can do that for a sport. Have I ever done it for God?
Right.
Right? So that type of, fasting and taking all these, that sounds like, why would you fast? Athletes do that kind of stuff all the time. They change their body chemistry. They do all kinds of things with their metabolism, just experimenting with things.
Whatever they got to do.
Whatever they can do. Okay, so now fasting doesn't sound like such a crazy thing to try. Going a couple of days,
whatever I got to do to gain the edge.
That's not the most extreme thing I've done to try to gain an edge in a sport,
I mean, you think about it. I mean, golly, you think about some of the things they do, whether it's in training camp or anything else. I mean, they go above and beyond. Some things is kind of, they do that. I mean, it is, they're going to push themselves, or either they're going to do whatever they can to find some kind of edge or some kind of tip or secret that makes them maybe a tenth of a second faster, or maybe it's something they do that's going to separate them from the competition. Well, it's not a competition we're in, but what have I got to do to draw a little bit closer? What have I got to do to make sure there's nothing between the Father and I? Yep.
So I think that maybe my analogy here would be that the struggle we might have as a church is that we all too much are golfers worried about our own individual development and how do we get better at this one thing, and not enough of a football team with 53 people
right.
that you can look at how can we make the team better and who can I find to help develop their game and help them to elevate things.
Or if you want to use the golf analogy, if it's Ryder Cup series.
Ryder Cup style,
We're not, all I'm doing is caring about whether I'm going to look good or not. Mm-hmm. Well, no, we're a team.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to make sure. I mean, I can't remember, but most of the time, America, did we win the Ryder Cup?
We don't do
much?
Well with the Ryder Cup, no.
Because,
does
you know
that
why?
Surprise you?
And you know what?
Yeah.
We are an individual-driven society. Mm-hmm. I got to push. I got to do this. Where the Europeans may be a little bit more, and they understand the concept of playing as a team. And
mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I can see that.
So many people are going through the motions in every way, shape, or form, and it's just checking our boxes and saying when it's just.
And when you realize that the church is a body, and the church is the body of Christ, and He's put it together, and we need each other, and we've got to be there for each other, and we're a unity, we're a community. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to put it. But when you realize that's exactly who we are, okay, now if we're going to function that way, we got to function the way the Lord intended. So, yeah.
And there needs
golly. I'm digging this. I'm
it's good. I didn't know that was what you were going to.
Two part series.
What are we preaching out of Sunday? Are we getting off of Luke for a second? The Bible.
Yeah, we're going to be out of Luke. We're going to be First Peter 4.
Okay.
All those verses are.
Okay.
We're going to just take a look at. Basically, it's kind of an overview of what spiritual gifts are,
okay.
The importance of them, and here's where we're going to go as a church. I'm going to give you a chance to find out what yours is, but more importantly, I want you to be able to use it. And so I've got to figure out a way that, hey, I want to see new ministry start. I want to see, hey, okay, I'm going to use my gift to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So
how much of that do you think is, identifying your spiritual gifts versus developing your spiritual gifts. How much do you think you have to work at developing those gifts?
Well, I think there's a lot. I think identifying is, it has to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. Okay, do I have the gift of teaching? If I do, then yeah, you're going to need to develop that because, sure. Like I said, I didn't start out. I can tell you, my first few sermons, whoo, and even today, some of my sermons, I'm like, oh. But it's one of, you develop it, you learn, you become better. I see it a lot of times in the younger guys, maybe either whether they're on staff or I've been around them, man, they've come a long way. Mm-hmm. They can really go now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there is that part of understanding what they are, but developing is huge. And that could take years. That could take, you know, numerous tries, but I believe you grow in them. You really do.
Yeah, and I think it's also, it probably goes back to humility to an extent. Having the humility to I'm trying to think how do I say this. So when you think you're the star of the show, as I've said before, that way, like, you don't really look for ways to you think you have. You're more stubborn about, these are my gifts, these are the things I'm going to stick to, and I'm only doing these things, and I don't need to look. The less you take yourself away from that and look at yourself more as the, again, not diminishing and putting yourself down, but just understanding you're that pinky toe.
That's right.
It's whatever you need to do today.
If you got the attitude of more of me and less of y'all, and we'd be better off, okay, you've missed the whole point. Mm-hmm. How about more of Christ and a whole lot less of us? Mm-hmm. And that's where those spiritual gifts come in, that it does show off Christ. And I think it's also one of, you know, when you can get the humility part of it, and isn't that the truth of everything we've talked about? Mm-hmm. We've talked about how pride is the root of all sin. We've talked about how, I mean, if we can stay humble, even in our gifting, even in our, you know, whatever the case may be, we'll go a lot further.
Is Paul the best example in the Bible other than Jesus to say as an example of a humble servant leader?
I think he'd be hard pressed to find somebody better in the New Testament.
Yeah,
I think you'd really struggle to find somebody. To me, John comes around a whole lot. You know, he goes from, do you want us to call fire down from heaven, God, or Jesus, to he writes 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and he calls them my dear children. You know, you don't see an arrogance there at all. At the same time, Paul reserves the right sometimes to crack whip and say, no, I'm an apostle, and you guys are acting like, you know, you don't know what you're doing. At the same time, I do see a servant leadership that, I think it came out, Peter, James, John, but especially Paul. I think that's the, even, I think next to Jesus, yeah.
But even when Paul cracks that whip a little bit, it's more of a, I'm going to butcher this so bad, I don't even want to say it. It's more of a, look, too many people came before you and went through too much and worked too hard to get to this point for you to ruin it now.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and he wasn't so much taking his own credit for the things that he had endured. It was starting with Christ and what he had done. And then also, hey, you don't get to take that in vain, maybe. Yeah.
I think, too, I mean, when he cracked whip, he always was, it was always in a mode of restoring. He would, in a mode of gracious to a point, you know, he still would crack whip, but it was always to the point of, I want to bring you, it's a godly sorrow is a good thing with repentance.
Maybe I'm trying to say, he was quick to point out who you were representing day in and day out in your life, and not to forget that when you embarrassed yourself, it wasn't just you and your body that you were embarrassing, it was Christ. Everything else that you were claiming to stand for.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I think, and you're right. I mean, if you really want to know probably the quintessential leader, Paul would be one. There's some no-namer guys in the scripture that their names mentioned once or twice. They didn't write a book. Mm-hmm. Epaphras is one that he's probably one of my favorite guys from the scripture in the New Testament. That when you look and see what he did, yeah, he's a servant leader. But yeah, when you talk about servant leader that we all know and love and can quote and read his stuff and everything else, yeah, Paul's number one, I would think, right after Christ.
Yeah, and a very, he held a high standard. for himself, those with them. I mean, it was, you didn't come in here wanting to just go through the motions and check your boxes.
Yeah, you don't write 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me as I follow Christ, and not mean business. I mean, if you're going to be bold enough to say, all right, I want you to follow Christ, but do it just like me. That's putting it out there, man.
Verse 3 was what I was talking about. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. All right, so here it is. God is a God of all mercies, and he's the God of all comforts. And so when we go through these tough times, and that's what he says in verse 4, these afflictions we have, when we go through them, when we get on the backside, man, we can comfort others with that. And so for me, having gone through whether it's surgeries or pain or a loss, I'm able to minister to folks along that same line.
So this was just one of those. It was only there because it was a very simple thing that I had noticed. But it's again, we love others because he loved us first. Well, he delivers us and comforts us through hard times, so we can do the same thing for others.
And maybe that's the. I think there is a. If I'm not mistaken, I'll have to do some research. The Salvation Army, I think William Booth is the man who started that. Before he died, they asked him to come and speak at the gathering they had, a big gathering. He got sick, and he just wrote one word down on a piece of paper for them to read, that this was what, and here's what it was, others. And basically it was, that's what we're here for, is for others. Now, more importantly, I'm here for Christ. But if I'm here for Christ, then I'm going to impact others. Yeah. So I think when it comes down to it, when we talk about our walk, our church life, our serving the Lord, it all needs to go back to others.
Yeah. I think that's really what it comes down to more than anything, and what it keeps coming back to with me lately. Every time I think about this stuff, it always comes back to just helping others, finding ways to help others.
And helping them to find Christ. That's the main thing. Helping others to come to light with who Christ is.
Well, and I think that it's amazing how much you can try to bring people to Christ without having to necessarily talk about it all. It's not always about the words. It's about the actions. Yeah. It's the actions that make people say, whoa,
First Peter says, always be ready to share the reason for the hope that is within you, doing it with gentleness and respect. Well, they're going to ask, what's the hope that you have within you? Why is it that you're different? Why is it that, you know, wait a second, you did this? And, you know, remember not too long ago, I stopped on the side of the road and helped a guy change a tire. He was an older guy, and he was struggling. He was older. And so I got out and changed his tire, got him on the road, and he said, man, there still are some good people in the world. And I said, I just told him, I said, man, I want you to know I'm not a good person, but Christ has made me a good person. And I said, you know, just begin to talk with him that way. Next thing I know, he's, you know, he knows the Lord, but we had a good time talking about the Lord. And so, yeah, just stopping, doing, you know, paying it forward, those kind acts, they go a long way, but they're always going to be. And I think that's share Christ at all times. Use words if you got to, but always do it with your actions. And then when the door opens, man, don't be ashamed. Go for it.
Well, and it's not always necessarily going to be, you know, finding, you know, it's not always going to be about introducing somebody to Christ that didn't know him before. Sometimes it's going to be encouraging somebody who's already walking with them, and maybe that gives them the encouragement they need to help the next person to be able to find it. You don't ever know where that next pass is going to go, right?
And I think that's the fun part of it is that's where God comes in and does something you didn't even know that could happen.
Yeah.
And lives can change just from a simple, that can go both ways. Lives can change from a simple act of kindness. Lives can change from a dumb act .
I don't know if this is a good thing to say on this or not. I don't want to make it sound like it's something that I'm bragging about or whatever, but it's something that I've been, because I do struggle with pride so much, I've been praying, God, I want you to use me to change as many lives as you possibly can without me knowing about any of it. Because I don't want to know. If I know, I'm going to start to get prideful about to feel good about it. But how much can you do with me without me knowing about it? So whether that's the right thing to say, or maybe I edit it out.
I think that's a great place to start.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. That's a great place to start. And then watch as God begins to grow you, and watch as you begin to grow in Christ likeness, that humility will change off. Hey, I don't really care if we impact lives or not. Mm-hmm. As far as number, I just want to make sure I'm being faithful to what God's called me to be.
Yeah. I think
you got to start somewhere, but eventually, that's the beauty of it is, hey, be honest with God. This is where I'm starting, but Lord, I know there's going to be a day when, that's about the least of my concerns. I just want to be used by you.
Yeah, but I tell you what I'm getting wrong on that the most is that I'm not the one changing anybody's life. Right. You got to get yourself that's out of that it. Role. That's You're not exactly the one that's right. changing any. You're not
just like those spiritual gifts.
Yeah,
they are a gift from God.
Yeah,
you are not the end all be all of giftedness. Mm-hmm. God gave it to you.
100%. Yeah. You're. I don't know. It's. You're taking credit for the sunrise if you want to take credit for all your talents.
That's it. Right? Just because you were crowing.
That's right.
The rooster taking credit for the sunrise.
That's right. That's right.
That's a great That's a beautiful illustration of what spiritual gifts are like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I believe we're about towards the end here. I think we're about an hour-ish somewhere down that line.
Right. Well, I got a question for you. And again, that super spiritual question. Who you got this weekend?
I am very torn. Yeah. Very, very torn.
Most everybody is. The thing is,
I'm a Chiefs fan. I like the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a huge 49er fan. I don't really know why. They beat us in the playoffs in 2013. I don't think I'm over it yet. I'm still mad about that.
Wow. Well,
yeah, I hold a grudge. I hold a grudge because of football, yeah.
Okay.
We're working. I'm pulling for it. I guess I'll find out Sunday when the game
starts.
I want
a good game.
I can't even really side with a kid here because Reese is a Swiftie and she is Go Chiefs, and Gabe is pulling for the 49ers for good reason. Christian McCaffrey's there.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey.
So between the two of them, I don't really know. I don't really want to pull against either one of them. I guess I'm just going to watch. Game. We'll see.
Well, and look, there's another part. I got so tickled. I think I might have shared this with you. Nicole the other day said, "Dad, I've only been pulling for my team for 3 months, and they're in Super Bowl. And you've been pulling for your team, and how long has it been?" And I said, "Dad, gum."
That's
and
mean.
So, I said, "Yeah, that's. I don't understand that. So it's not fair."
I'm going to enjoy watching Gabe and Reese argue during the game because they've never cared. Reese has never cared before, but she's going to this week. Oh, she's going to be in his grill the entire game.
Are they going to put her on TV?
Yeah.
Is she going to be able to make it from Japan? I guarantee you she will. But so, I think it's going to be fun.
So I won't be participating, Mama, don't worry. But I cannot wait to see the squares come out and see how many different prop bets we have on Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Those are always fun.
I bet there'll be 50 prop bets just about her.
We've played bingo
with
Super Bowl bingo where you have to put did so-and-so happen? I love that. That's fun.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. I don't think from what I'm planning on, I'm going to be at my house.
Yeah.
And that's it. I hope I'm not going to have to go out. But if I did, I would. But I just want to sit at home and just eat a little bit of food and watch a game.
Yeah, I think that's what we'll do, too. Usually we get some food and Gabe has some friends come over or something.
Yeah, I'd love to have a pizza, but I guarantee you, boy, pizza's going to be...
Ordered about 2 o'clock Sunday.
That's it.
That's all.
And like I said, I mean, Super Bowl is a big day, but when you got two teams that I just ain't got a dog in the fight, man.
Mm-hmm. I'll find somebody to pull for because I can't just sit there and watch it and not care. I'll eventually pick a side.
Well, I will too, and probably a part of it depend on Mahomes and how he's acting. then I like Purdy. That nobody gives Brock Purdy any credit. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to see him win.
Yeah.
And then somehow or another, how did the Commanders get involved? Somebody tweeted something or something that I don't know. They equated that Purdy looks like Sam Howell or something. I don't think it's anything important.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I hope Sam Howell. I don't know if he's going to be our quarterback or not. Well, I think what's going to happen is I think the Commander's going to draft Drake May, and I'm kind of like, have we not learned we cannot draft from this rinky-dink school in Chapel Hill? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, Lord. Hey, by the way, before we go, welcome back to the other 167. I never even said that.
And, good morning. Good
we're out now. So.
There you go. Welcome.